Don't move, just leave your doll out here on a monitor. Lean back and stay a while now. Here's monitor.
Hello, this is Brad Crandall, your host for Monitor 67, your bird's eye view of the weekend world. In this half hour, we'll be hearing music by Roger Williams, Vera Lynn, and Buddy Greco, the latest sports news from Mel Allen, and an interview with two people who've never been treated by a psychiatrist in spite of the fact that they talk to flowers. Talk to flowers? Albert, Casino Royale. And now, a question. Do you remember the song, I Talk to the Trees, from the musical Painter Wagon? Now, you may have thought the lyrics were a little fanciful. I mean, who goes around really talking to trees? Well, maybe nobody does, but there are some people in the world who talk to flowers. To make them grow, sure. Reporter Lee Klein interviewed two such people for Monitor.
Some people believe that flowers respond to loving care, that by talking or singing to flowers, somehow they'll grow better, that the green thumb does exist. This is Robert Dickinson, supervisor of the city greenhouse in Des Moines, Iowa, at a flower show.
Yes, I would say I talk to the flowers. I really believe they respond. And, you know, many people have told me that they talk to their flowers, and that's where they respond when they talk to them.
Now, you know the stage show, don't you? On a clear day, you can see forever, and it's the story of the gal who has a flower pot, and she finds by talking to it that the flower will grow up instantly.
It will
grow
and
she tries to get this flower to come up in this fine world.
Right, right, right. You have to love flowers to get them to grow and bloom.
Now, are you telling me this seriously, or are you pulling my leg just a little bit?
No, I'm not pulling your leg.
You mean a green thumb exists?
I think a green thumb exists. Definitely exists.
Right. Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, some people have a green thumb and some people don't have a green thumb. See? But,
It's a little mystical, you know.
It's mystical, all right. But you come down and you talk to your plants and they will grow. They will grow better.
How about...
I'll swear to that.
Do you think flowers have personalities?
Personalities? Each flower has a personality.
Well, for instance, what flower has what personality?
Look at the lily there. Now, isn't that got a personality all its own? There's two types of lilies there. The Easter lily, the DeGraff hybrid lilies. Now, isn't that a personality?
Yeah.
Look at the snapdragons. Look at the tall, stately growth of the snapdragons. That's a definite personality. Each flower is an individual in itself, like human beings. Each human being is an individual. Each flower is an individual.
Next, a flower grower from Adel, Iowa. She's a physician. Her name is Dr. Laura Miller. And she's sitting on a white bench under the rubber tree contemplating the fountain at the flower show.
Well, Mr. Dickinson said that flowers will respond, will grow better if you love them.
That's true, too.
You agree with that?
I agree with that very much.
A scientific lady like you?
Yes, sir. Yes. And
give me an example.
True. And that's true with people. Did you know that?
Well, I can understand with people. Yes, very much so, but
you
flowers.
You can take a person that loves their flowers and waters them and feeds them. They grow and just be beautiful. And then you give them to somebody that just likes the flash. Never waters, never feeds, the flower dies.
Ah.
In a very short while.
Do you sing to flowers or talk to flowers when you're
working
with them?
Well, no, I don't know that I sing to them, but I talk to them.
What do you say?
Well, you got a bud this morning and you're just about ready to open. Well, that looks fine. You're doing well.
I see. What do you like to grow most, your favorite flower that you...
Well, I think petunias respond and roses. Roses are... You just can't get anything nicer. The lilies are nice, sure. But the roses are so beautiful and they respond to loving care.
So, do you have trouble growing flowers? Try talking to them, sing to them, love them. Perhaps it'll change your luck. From the City Greenhouse at Des Moines, Iowa, now back to Monitor.
Friends, no matter what you may have heard about me, don't believe it. You know what liars geraniums are.
There she goes, she's walking away. Each step that she takes brings heartaches my way. He's won her heart, I lost her some way. There she goes, she's walking away. That it shows she's walking away. Oh, there she goes. La 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 la. Oh, if I hadn't cheated, if I
Buddy Greco, there she goes. And you're tuned to Monitor at 17 minutes after the hour, with more coming up, including an Academy Award-winning song. So stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall here for Monitor 67, leading off this quarter hour with Vera Lynn singing a lament for lost love. It hurts to say goodbye.
Hurts to say goodbye.
to say goodbye.
At the Monitor Sports Desk, Mel Allen with Today in Sports plus a look at the week ahead.
Thanks, Brad. Hello there, everybody. In the National Basketball Association's championship playoff, Philadelphia scored an easy 126-95 home court victory over San Francisco to take a 2-0 lead in the best-of-seven series. Hal Greer of the 76ers and Rick Barry of the Warriors shared scoring honors with 30 points each. But the big man, Philadelphia's Wilt Chamberlain, grabbed 38 rebounds, 17 points, 10 assists, 10 blocked shots. Game 3 in San Francisco, Tuesday night. In golf, Frank Beard won the $20,000 first prize in the Tournament of Champions in Las Vegas by one stroke, but he had to battle back a terrific bid by Arnie Palmer, who fired a final round 7-under-par tournament record 64. Arnie started the afternoon 8 strokes behind Beard, made the turn in a sensational 29, but had putting troubles on the back 9, including a missed 2-footer on the 16th hole. He finished with a 35, went into the clubhouse to wait while Beard completed his round. Coming to the final hole, Beard and Palmer were even up, 5-under-par. With the pressure on him, though, Beard holed out on an 8-foot birdie putt for an even par 71, a 72-hole score of 278, and the one-stroke victory. George Archer, third at 282, tied for fourth at 284, Jack Nicklaus, Bobby Nichols, and Doug Sanders. Now some baseball results. National League, St. Louis remains the only unbeaten team in the majors. They took Houston 11-8. Bob Gibson beat Carol Cimbera. Home runs for St. Louis, Cepeda. 2 by Brock, his 4th and 5th, and 4 in 2 days. Bateman homered for Houston. Los Angeles, meanwhile, remains the only winless team in the majors. Atlanta beat them 4-1 as Denny LeMaster took Don Drysdale. Pittsburgh beat Chicago 6-5. Matty Alou hit a 2-out, 2-run triple in a 4-run, 9th-inning rally to win it for the Pirates and end their 3-game losing streak. Juan Pizarro the winner, John Upham the loser, both in relief. Philadelphia shut out New York's Mets 2-0 on Richie Allen's 2-run homer in the 5th. Larry Jackson's 5-hitter gave him his 16th lifetime victory against the Mets against no losses. Bill Dennehy the loser. Cincinnati won a doubleheader from San Francisco. In the first game, it was 4-1. Billy McCool beat reliever Lindy McDaniel. Tito Puentes homered for the Giants. In the second game, it was 6-0. Mel Queen Jr., the winner. Mike McCormick, the loser. Beta Pinson homered for the Reds. In the first game of a doubleheader, as we look at the American League, Detroit beat Kansas City 6-3. McLean, the winner over Odom. Dick Green and Roger Rapoport homered for the A's. In the first game of a doubleheader, Chicago beat Washington 7-3. Tommy Agee and Pete Ward each hit 3-run homers. Frank Howard and Bob Chance homered for Washington. Joel Harlan, the winning pitcher. Phil Ortega, the loser. Cleveland nosed out Minnesota 4-3 as Sam McDowell beat Jim Grant. Leon Wagner homered for the Indians. In the first game of a doubleheader, California beat Baltimore 5-4 in 10 innings. Lou Burdett, the winner, Stu Miller, the loser, both in relief. Home runs for California, Paul Shaw, Jose Cardinal, and Don Minchin. For Baltimore, Dave Johnson. Professional soccer made its debut in the USA today. In National League games, Philadelphia beat Toronto 2-0. Baltimore 1, Atlanta 0. Chicago 2, St. Louis 1. Los Angeles 3, New York 2. The rival United Soccer Association begins play on May the 26th. Looking ahead, tomorrow, middleweight champion Emil Griffith is favored in the defense of his title against Italy's Nino Benvenuti in Madison Square Garden. Tuesday, Chicago-Toronto in Game 6 of the best-of-seven Stanley Cup playoff semifinal series. Toronto leads in games 3-2. Wednesday, the Boston Marathon. Thursday, the Dallas Open. Saturday, the $100,000 added Wood Memorial at Aqueduct and the $75,000 added Californian at Golden Gate Fields. That's what is and will be in sports, Brad. Mel Allen here, friends, reminding you that for more features and news from the world of sports, stay tuned to Monitor.
Now here's Monitor Music, this year's most honored song, the Academy Award-winning Born Free, played by Roger Williams. This word from the United Negro College Fund. You can help ensure equality of educational opportunity for thousands of young Americans. You can help economically deprived students of every race and creed by sending a generous gift to the United Negro College Fund, Box 5552, Grand Central Station, New York City 10017. The song Everybody Loves My Baby, the artist King Richard's Flugelknights. The program Monitor, yours to enjoy at home or take along in your car, wherever you go in the USA. Now, a word from the NBC station nearest you, and then we'll be back. I'm Brad Crandall.
This is Springtime Monitor on the NBC Radio Network.
While you try, it's NBC Monitor on NBC.
This is Brad Crandall back again with more of the Springtime Monitor. And just ahead, we'll be hearing from Lainey Kazan, whom we know is a singer, but who originally trained herself to be an actress. But first, monitor music. A gentleman named Whistling Jack Smith. The title of that song is I Was Kaiser Bill's Batman, and incidentally, Batman in this case is not Adam West. It refers to a sort of military gentleman's gentleman in World War I. Now, as promised, here's that talented young singer, Lainey Kazan, who has some very nice things to say to reporter Joe Hyder about the taste and intelligence of the American public.
Lainey, you know, you have definite opinions, I'm told, about the level of the intelligence of your fans, and you think people underestimate their intelligence, don't you?
Yes, my fans will be my fans no matter what. But somehow I think the people who are promoting and distributing and promoting the name of the different artists want to come and laugh and dance and sing. And I don't feel that's the only entertainment that succeeds. It must prove that the level of intelligence of the average person is higher than one expects and one anticipates. And I do feel that I must stick with what I believe and sing things that I love. And that I, if it succeeds, fine. And if it doesn't, well, that's my tough luck.
Lainey, do you want to become an actress?
Well, the strangest thing is that music is just a very newly acquired part of my life. I started in this business. In fact, I met a woman up here who was, and she said to me, when did you start to sing? She said, you were an acting major. I mean, when did you start? I've always sung, but I never thought of myself as a singer. I was going into the theater as an actress. And one thing led to another, and here I am.
It seems to me that actress turned singer has also turned equestrian. You are a horse owner now?
Yes, I am. When I do something, it's intense. I rode every day, you know. When I was in Las Vegas, I had my days free, and I don't gamble, and I don't drink, and so I just rode. Fell off the horse. Broke and smashed my right hand to smithereens. And went back to Johnny Carson's show, and he said, you see?
I warned you.
But as soon as I got the cast off, I went right back on a horse. In fact, I bought a horse.
What's the name of the horse?
Lainey's Joy.
Well, what else?
So I'm very excited. She's a beautiful black mare with a long black mane, and she's very exciting.
Good luck to the horse, and good luck to you, Lainey Kazan. You've been a pleasure to talk to.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure for me.
This is Joe Hyder with Lainey Kazan for Monitor.
Lainey Kazan, by the way, is currently appearing at the Persian Room of New York's Hotel Plaza. Now, let's hear a song by the young lady herself as she sings Kiss Tomorrow Goodbye.
by my love. I know we're through. Tonight will be my last with you. Don't say a word. Don't even try. It's best that we kiss. Tomorrow, goodbye. Goodbye.
You're tuned to Monitor at 16 minutes before the hour with more of everything coming up. Example, in a few minutes, Al Capp explains how he became a self-styled expert on child raising. So stay with us. You're on the Monitor Beacon. Brad Crandall here from Monitor 67, starting off this segment with Victor Mohn on the south side of Chicago.
Fancy girls out working, honky-tonks ablaze. These were a part of the good old days when I used to swing on the south side of Chicago. Wentworth was its beating heart, the place where action first got its start, back when jazz was king on the south side of Chicago. I still can hear those silver trumpets blowing. Places filled with people glowing. Ooh, New Orleans was groovy, Memphis light and gay. And who could put down New York's Broadway? But there was everything on the south side of Chicago.
Just in case you may have overlooked it, today marks the beginning of National Consumer Credit Week, and I know you want to do your part to make it a success. I'll tell you how. Take a friend to lunch and pay for it on time.
The moonlight warms the silver sand. a tangerine adrift upon a sea of love, a woodland that nothing comes between the salty days and salty nights,
where every slice of
Cinnamon and Cloves, the latest from Sergio Mendez and Brazil 66. Now, let's hear some words of dubious wisdom from Al Kapp, Monitor's expert on nothing with opinions on everything, who will tell you how to win an argument with your child.
Over the past few months, I've been engaged in a quiet but exhausting war with a certain full-grown daughter of mine who must remain nameless. Now, she inherits my stubbornness, and so she's a rugged and unyielding little fighter, but I've been stubborn longer than she has, and in these matters, experience counts. And so she hasn't been able to move me an inch. Actually, all through it, I've been confident that in the end I'd win, for two reasons. One, I'm right. The other is, I'm referee. Well, the other day, we arranged for a final, decisive discussion. I prepared for it by marshaling all my facts in an orderly way in a notebook. My daughter prepared for it by bringing several extra handkerchiefs. I stated my case calmly, reasonably. Several times my daughter attempted to break in with some indignant squeak, but I insisted that I must continue uninterrupted until I was finished, and then she could state her case. When I was finished, it was clear that my case was fair, wise, and unarguable. I told my daughter she could now present her argument. She said, oh, there's no sense arguing with you. You're right, and you know it. And then she broke down and wept and wept and wept. Well, I'd won. So I said, I give up. Go ahead and do what you want to do. She didn't stop crying, and so I shook her, and I said, look here. I didn't win. I've lost. Well, she's never adored me more. My whole darn family adores me now. I know it's no way to bring up kids, especially kids who are so brought up that they have kids of their own, as my daughter has. But it's the best way to be happy. Losing, I mean. Winning's overrated. When you win over people and they resent you. But when you lose, nobody resents you. Everybody's deliriously happy about it except you. And then they're so anxious to make up for your unhappiness at losing. They're so nice to you, it makes you wonder why any father is stupid enough to win a family argument. And this is Al Kapp, who knows how to bring up kids. Do exactly as they ask you to. Speaking to you on NBC's Monitor.
The views of Al Kapp are heard every weekend on Monitor.
Time alone will tell. My love for you will never end. Although I know that you must go. Fate that let us meet was indiscreet to let me fall in love with you. Time may change the world, I could never change the world we used to know. I love you so. Time alone will tell, for no one else could be as wonderful as you.
Connie Francis and Time Alone Will Tell, which is another way of saying that everything changes, but I'm not so sure I believe things have changed as much as the title of this next song would indicate, because if they have, there are going to be a lot of Russian young ladies with chap knees. The title? Miniskirts in Moscow. From the Bob Crewe generation. You're tuned to Monitor, and I'm your host, Brad Crandall, reminding you to
be tuned. The latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere.